Morning, everybody. So today we start the halachas of hadlachas neiros. First thing that we say about hadlachas neiros is that it is an obligation. Everybody must light candles for Shabbos, a candle for Shabbos, because Chazal understood that the only way food can be enjoyed is if you have light. To eat in the dark, to spend the night in the dark, is considered depressing and not enjoyable. And therefore, it's part of the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos. It's part of the mitzvah of Oneg Shabbos that a person should have candles so they should be able to sit with at least some light. And at Kedei Kach, they say that if a person is so poor that he can't afford a candle, then it's his chiyuv to go collecting in order to get money for a candle. And if a person has a choice, whether to buy Kiddush wine or to buy a candle, that's his last penny that's left is to choose between wine for Kiddush or candle, then we say he should buy the candle and drop the Kiddush. Obviously, if he doesn't have bread, then he'll buy the bread before the candle because there's no point of having a candle and sitting at a table and not eating. So he'll buy bread before he buys a candle, but once he has bread, the next thing in line is a candle and only then yayin for Kiddush. The most basic chiyuv of having candles on Friday night is a single candle. One single candle at the table, one single candle so that you're not sitting in total darkness is the most basic chiyuv. And as you said, if a person has to go collecting, then he does not have to collect more than one single candle. However, the mitzvah, this is not the obligation, but it's the mitzvah to do it properly, is to increase light so that it should be pleasant and nice in the house. In the days of Chazal, they didn't have electric lighting, and therefore they had to use candles. So we see that the mitzvah is not only that you add lots of candles at the table, because the more light you have, the more pleasant the meal will be, but also at the one should put light in other rooms of the house. There are two main reasons given for candles. One is covered and one is shalom bayis. Shalom bayis means that a person can navigate the various movements in his house without having to stumble over something or someone. And that would cause friction and machlokes in a house. Having light and being able to move from one place to another, knowing where you're going, is considered as a prerequisite for shalom bayis. And essentially, one actually doesn't have to have a candle for that. If you have a nice, good, strong street lamp outside your door, in the old days didn't exist, but today we have a nice, strong street light outside your window, and you open the shutters, and when light comes in, and now you can move about your room without stripping over things, that is halachically considered as sufficient for the prerequisite of shalom bayis. And make a nafkamina, we talk about if a gabbai of a shul is eating in a room next to the shul. So we talk about light coming in from the shul, light coming in from the moon, and if there's sufficient light, so it could be that he's potter from lighting candles, at least from the point of view of shalom bayis. The second issue is a kovet Shabbos and Oneg Shabbos, that there's simcha involved, that when the more light you have, the more pleasant the food is, the more pleasant the atmosphere is, the nicer the Shabbos meal is. It's all part of increasing the kovet Shabbos, and therefore then there's no real upper limit to how much light you can have, because especially in days where it had candles, every candle added, every candle made it more beautiful, more nice. So in bedrooms, one candle would suffice, but at the table, multiple candles is what would be appropriate. So the halacha is mitzvah laharbois. The minig is not to do less than two. As we said, the obligation is one, but the minig is, obviously for a person that can afford it, not to do less than two candles, and it is learned from the fact that the Shabbos, when it was given at the Aseres HaDibros, we know that in Parshas Yisroi, it says Zochres Yom Shabbos Akatzoi, and Parshas Voischanan says Shomres Yom Shabbos Akatzoi. And as we say in the Chodovi, Zochor v'Shomor b'Dibur Echad Neemru. Actually, there it says Shomor v'Zochor, not Zochor v'Shomor. But the two things were said simultaneously. They're two equal parts of Shabbos. We learn many things out from the fact that change, but one of them is that we have two candles to remember Zacha v'Shamar. The Ramah in his Sefer Darkei Moshe, which is his Pirush on the Tur, not his glasses on the Shulchan Aruch, but his Pirush on the Tur, brings down that some people light seven candles, connected the 7 days of the week, the Shabbos is the seventh day. Others light 10 candles, and Aseres Hadibros, or various other things that are 10. So the question comes up, if there's an inyan of having two because you want to point out Zacha v'Shamar, then anything you add will then take away from the idea that you have two. If you have three candles, then it's three. It doesn't look like two. But they all say that, as Hazar used an expression, b'chlam osayim mona, inside of 200 is a 100. Inside of 10, you have two. So you have, of course, just because you have 10 doesn't take away. So you have two, and you have seven, and you also have 10. You become all three in Yanim. It's not a problem. If you want to make two bigger or two different, that's also wonderful. It's actually brought down. I've never seen anybody do this, but it's brought down that because Zacha v'Shamar was said at the same breath at the same time, and the nace was that the Yidin heard the two at the same time, there's an inyan to make those two candles woven together into one. So like we have for Havdalah, we have a woven candle for Havdalah. There's an inyan to make such a thing for Shabbos. I have yet seen anybody do it. Maybe because the mitzvah min hamufcha, the choice way to do Shabbos candles is with oil more than wax. Mamele, it's not so common to be able to do such a thing with oil. You can't weave two oil candles together. It just becomes one big bowl of oil. And if you weave the wicks together, it just becomes a thicker wick. It doesn't seem like two separate items. So probably that's why it never came down. But maybe it will come up soon, as we have all these people who commercially produce pre-made salt water and pre-made chametz pieces to put down for your b'dikas chametz and pre-made yakna house candles. I'm sure it will come. We're going to have shomer v'zacha candles sold to us. But there is what to say. That's actually a nice hidur. As I said, I've never seen anybody do it. So that's the candles. Then we say that when a person takes on to light a certain type and size and amount of candles, then that is like a neder, and because it's a hanhoga tova that you've done, and once you've done it, it's like considered upon yourself as a neder, and therefore you may not go down again. So if you are makbid on long or thick or tall candles, if you're using wax or you use nice big glasses to fill them up with oil, so then the next week you don't go and become stingy and say, you know, this week I'm doing less, because this is the way you were makabit Shabbos in the past. There is sometimes that you take a little bit of a longer candle because in the winter no longer Friday night. In the summer, it's a shorter Friday night. In the summer, you take shorter candles than you take other candles. But if you're buying a certain candle because they are prettier, they're taller, they look better, then that in itself is a form of covet, so that you can't go down. Once you've gone up, you don't go down unless you do proper Hataras Nedarim. So if you light regularly 10 candles, you can't change your mind and decide now you're going to light two candles. As I said, unless you do Hataras Nedarim. If you light big candles, then you shouldn't change the small ones. I didn't see, as I'm thinking about it, I didn't see anything written. If you usually light tea lights, and now you change to regular candles, can you change back? Then the question is, which one's better? Which one's nicer? Maybe this is a question of subjective. Some people prefer this, or some people prefer that. If you light usually with oil, can you change to wax? I didn't see anybody talk about it. It's more of a question, if I lit 10 candles, I shouldn't light 9. I lit big candles and I shouldn't light small ones.
There's a lot of people have the minhag to light an extra candle for each child. You haven't mentioned that.
No, I haven't mentioned that. We'll come up to that. We'll come up to that later. At the moment, we're talking about the basic seal. The basic seal is one candle, the minhag to light two candles, and then the mitzvah to have light in your house. Now, essentially, today, and we'll talk about this more later when we get into the discussion of having hanor from your candles. Today we have electric light, and our houses are beautifully illuminated, and we sit in great comfort with our electric light. And comes the question of what have we got our puny candles for? They don't add anything. So they do add, and we'll discuss it separately. But so therefore, because of that, today we stick with the minimum, because why light more candles? It's not really going to change much. So We'll talk about the fact that people add candles for their children that we'll get to later, or people who forget and have a knas and they add it. But essentially, so Mamela, that's why we got to deal with the minimum, because why light more than the minimum if you have excellent electric lighting that makes your meal very pleasant? For us who've lived with the pleasantness of electricity, we can't imagine what it's like to have to spend a Friday night with candlelight. I mean, it's when the power goes off and you use candlelights, the kids get afraid, and then it gets exciting, and then it wears off, and then you've had enough. This idea that whatever standard you've set yourself to, you shouldn't lower yourself without Hataras Nedarim, it's brought down that it only applies at home. But if you go out for Shabbos, then you don't need to keep that. And that means that if you normally light 7 candles at home, that doesn't mean that you have to light 7 candles when you go out for Shabbos. If you're away, you're being hosted or gone to a hotel or whatever the case may be, even if you go on vacation, it's mashma that you're just not at home, then you can revert back to the basic minhag of 2. And so too, Lagabe, if you usually buy big candles, you don't have to buy big candles again when you're not at home. Or if that's what your host supplies you with, then you light with what he supplies you with, even though they might be smaller than what. If a woman wants to increase the amount of candles that she normally lights, it is wise and fitting that she should consult her husband before doing such a thing. Obviously, as you said, if there are times where she has to add, like, or alpin minik she adds, and then it's understood. It's like we're going to talk about if you have more children or a person forgot. But stamazer, because she wants to add more candles, because she wants more light, so this becomes a financial burden on the family, because once she does it once, she's got to do it forever. So even though the practicality of such a thing today is small, because A, the financial output is minor, and B, most people are not interested, just because if you have 5 candles lit already, why would they want to add a 6th? Some of the time where it made a difference. You put 5 candles on the table and then on the shelf next to it, and then in the kitchen and in the living room, you added another candle. So he brings in that it is wise to get consent from one's spouse. It shouldn't cause any friction. The preferred fuel for Shabbos candles is olive oil. The main reason for that is because we want our Shabbos candles to be as clear and as, let's call it clear, because we're going to see that not so practical today, but in the olden days when they lit candles, sometimes they didn't have proper fuel, they didn't have proper wicks. So that's the whole perek in Shabbos, about Bam Madlikin, which the Mishnayos we say on a Friday night in Shul, is what may Bame Madlikin or Bame Madlikin, what fuels can you use, what fuels can you not use, what wicks can you use, what wicks can you not use. And basically the defining item that defines what can be used, what not to use, is based on the quality of the flame. We want a steady, clear, as smokeless as possible flame, so that nothing disturbs us. They shouldn't. If it flickers, we might come to fiddle with it, or it might go out, and then we're sitting in the dark. We want it to not smell bad. It's one of the reasons why Itron is excluded from the fuels, even though it burns very well, but it gives off an unpleasant odor, and we don't want a person to feel uncomfortable in his own home and then go eat somewhere else where it's dark. So the basic point of candles is for light and comfort. So if you're not going to be mekayim that, it's going to flicker, or it's not clear, or it's not smells nice, so then you're lacking either in the light or the comfort, or both. So therefore, Chazal said, the best is shemen zayis. That was the oil they had that was clear and pure. And there's also mitzad Kabbalah. There's other of the Sforim HaKadoshim write about the milus of shemen zayis. So that also has another milus, because others are telling me, well, canola oil does just as good. So yes, if you don't have olive oil, then other oils are just as good, as long as the resultant flame is clear. Nothing that's going to cause flickering or doesn't draw up nicely or doesn't give a nice flame. So too, when you make wicks for your oil candles, you should use good quality wicks that absorb nicely and bring the oil up properly and then leave you with a nice flame. So in today's day and age, you can buy pre-made cotton wool wicks or something like that. Or, well, people know, those who use oil know which wicks works best for them. It's just today it's so easy to do Mekayim and Mitzvahs. Wax is is fine. In fact, the Mishabura talks about wax, and wax is soft and it makes mess. You can get it. You have to worry about the kashrus because sometimes it was made from fat and it grips on your kalim. But Lamaite says if you use starring candles, they're the best for other solid fuels. And starring is I think the Yiddish word for paraffin, which is a solid paraffin, is what our candles are made today. When we talk of wax candles, they're not made of the conventional form of wax. They're rather just made from a synthetic form of wax, and they're very clear, and they make a nice flame, and they burn well, and they don't make much smoke, and they don't flicker, and they're easy to light. So they're wonderful to use. If someone uses electricity to light candles on Shabbos, we say that he has what to rely on. It is not wrong. It is for sure preferable to use fuel with a wick and a conventional fire. But if you use electric light, and we're not going to make much of a difference between whether it's an incandescent bulb or a fluorescent or an LED, because unlike Hanukkah, where there is significance to the fact that there's a fuel and there's a wick, because there's a way to light it, and Hanukkah candles are not made for their light, they're made for, there's a din in the hadlaka, and the actual ignition, that's part of the mitzvah, has to be done in a certain way. There, most Muslims hold that electric lights are no good, whereas on Shabbos, the point of lights are for the light, to feel comfort. So electric light gives you the light that is required, and therefore there's a lot to rely on. Obviously, we prefer that a person should light regular candles, but in cases where it's not available, then electric light is fine. Ad kedei kach that you can even make a brach on electric light as long as you turn them on before Shabbos. If they were on all day already, you can't make a brach on a light that was on already, but rather the light should be turned off and then turned on again before Shabbos. And practical nafkamina is someone who is in hospital where they don't allow candles in the wards. It's a fire hazard. The only thing they have is the light over the bed. So you turn it off, or if it's off already, then you turn it on lechvo Shabbos and you can make a brach on it. So we'll get to that later as in what is the person's field in a place where it's not really his responsibility for the light. But for now, we'll talk about the candles themselves. Some people use oil candles and use a floating wick, and the advantage of that is that the wick is always close to the oil, but then when the oil burns out, the wick disappears into the cup, so they fill it up with a bit of water to raise the oil so that the flame is closer to the top. Or even if they use regular wicks, with cotton wool wicks, sometimes you put water inside, because when the fuel is closer to the source of the fire, so that when the fire is closer to the source of the fuel, the flame is bigger. As the level of the oil drops, the flame gets smaller and is not as pleasant. So therefore people add water in order to raise the level of the oil. Those who do it, that is fine. There's no problem of kibbuy, but there is a problem that you may not do it on Shabbos. So even though essentially you still have the same oil is burning, and oil will go out at the end, but we mustn't add oil into our candles after Shabbos. You mustn't add water. Zichri, you can't add oil, because that's going to burn. That's havara, that's burning on Shabbos. But even adding water, where you would think it's benign and really doesn't really do much, is also to do on Shabbos. If you're going to add water to your candles, do it before Shabbos. Also brought down, which I think also not too practical because we light our candles in candlesticks, but it says not to bring your candles too close to each other because the heat of the candles will cause them to melt and to bend and buckle, and they might fall over, and they might just not burn long enough. So if you want proper lights, it's a practicality. A practical point is not to bring your candles too close to each other, that the heat from one will affect the other. Generally speaking, that's not really an issue when you're lighting candlesticks, and automatically you have a built-in space between them. But for those who know, when you light multiple candles, you light lots and lots of candles, and you have lower ones and higher ones, the lower ones can cause the higher ones to melt a bit. You can see it on Hanukkah candles when the kids light with those thin, cheap candles, and there's a lot of them, they burn much faster, and they actually are very often melt if they're not spaced out properly. But generally, with our Shabbos candles, we have them put up nicely, but it's something to be aware of. If candle lighting was forgotten. Now, why do I say that word was forgotten? Because candle lighting is a chiyuv on men and women. The chiyuv on men and women, we'll see in a moment we get this all today, that the ikka chiyuv is on the woman. We'll talk about why. But the chiyuv is on every member of the household to make sure that you'll have light in the house. So essentially, the head of the household, the husband and the wife, are the one to take care of the candles. So if both of them forgot, for whatever reason, but it's forgotten, we'll talk about it. If it was beyond their capabilities, it was an onus, then they are not constantly responsible for not lighting candles. But if it was forgotten, so if a woman forgets, the husband then should light. Or if a woman, say, is occupied, whether she's in the shower or whatever the case may be, if a woman is occupied in a way, if she's occupied in a way that she doesn't manage to light candles in time, we say that her husband should light candles in her place. He has to be careful that if she says, I'm coming, and she is coming, then he shouldn't light because he's taken the mitzvah away from her. But when he sees that Mamish got to the end of the day, and Shabbos is coming, and if you wait any longer, it will be a problem of Chilul Shabbos, then it's the husband's chiyuv to light at that moment if his wife can't light for whatever reason. Sometimes run off for an emergency or something like that, and says she's on the way back and didn't pan out the way it worked. So then the husband lights candles. So if a household did not light candles for Shabbos, we say that we got to give them a knas. We fine them. The Maril was very strict about it. He felt that a woman should fast if she missed lighting candles. The Maaser, we don't go that strict. We pass them that all we give her is a knas, that from now on forever she adds another candle. She usually lit 17, from next week onward she's going to light 18. If she usually lit 2, then from next week onward she lights 3. The Maaser, the Bir Halacha brings, Shem the Prima Godim, that if a woman lit one candle instead of 2, then that's not reason for knas, even though she minimized from what she regularly did. But at the end of the day, the family did not sit in the dark. If you, that's the issue over here, is that candles, it says you shouldn't sit in the dark, so there's no need to be koinasa. So the question comes up woman who forgot multiple times, each time she adds another one, so it's possible that she's lighting 4, she's lighting 5, she's lighting 6, depending on how often this has happened. Again, it's got to be shikha. It's not that it happened there, an onus, something, an emergency happened, and the husband was not available, so things happen. A woman who's poor, who can't afford another candle, so then we say better than, but at least she should do something. So what she should do is she should make her candles a little bit longer, or maybe if she's using oil, add oil in than she usually did until then. So as you said, the ikka reason is that you don't sit in the dark. Now, how does it apply, that the Prima Godin says if you lit one candle, so there's no reason to be kindness to you because at least you didn't sit in the dark. So what will be today where we have electric lights? And you forgot Shabbos candles, but Lamassi didn't sit in the dark. The house had light in it. So if you lit the lights in the living room and in the passage or in the kitchen or whatever, you've turned them on lichvod Shabbos, so at least you could say that true, you didn't make the bracha on this light, and you didn't light your regular candles that you make the bracha on, but you did turn on light lichvod Shabbos. Could be there's makom to be mekel, that you don't need to be koinis that person. But if it was just the lights were on, and therefore by default you didn't sit in the dark because the lights were on already. When did you turn them on? You turned them on when you got up in the morning and you went to the kitchen and you turned on the lights, and you left them on all day, so your house is not in the dark. So what will be the din? So some say this way, some say that way. I saw brought down the shame of the Melamed Lahoyel, with David C. Hoffman, and he says, true, we can't really be coyness and say, okay, light another candle, but at the end of the day, a person has been negligent and hasn't made a bracha on the candles like he's supposed to, and therefore there should be some form of reminder or perhaps a knas or a punishment. I would say in such a case, a person should speak to his local Orthodox rabbi and decide what to do, and it could be he won't say he has to light another candle every week because at the end of the day he didn't sit in the dark, but perhaps maybe give some money to tzedakah or something like that, so that the person should feel the severity and understand the importance of lighting candles and making a bracha on them. Okay, I have another 10 minutes. We'll start the next mini section, and that is who is chayev in hadlokas neris. So as we said, the mitzvah is on men and women evenly. Everybody has to have light in their house, irrelevant of they're living alone or living with other people, living in their parents' home, living in their children's home. Everybody has a chiyuv to make sure that when it comes to Shabbos, they have light. The minhag is that the parents, the household heads, take care of the lights for everybody else, and they don't have to do anything, just the household heads. Now, when I say heads in plural, do I mean husband and wife? Yes, I mean husband and wife. The meaning is that because women are the ones who are home more than the husbands, generally speaking, at least they were until the 20th century, and they generally take care of the needs of the home, so this was given to them as a mitzvah, that the mitzvah is theirs, that they are the ones who are called the people who light the candles. And therefore, the candles that are lit by the table, the one that you make the bracha on, is the woman's mitzvah, and a husband may not take it away from his wife. She can object if he does it in her place. It is not his mitzvah, and she can have a tine against him if he takes it away from her. What does the husband do in order to be mekayim his mitzvah? There's many other things that you can do. Lagavi hadlakas neiros. Number one, the typical one that's brought down, is that he prepares the candles. Preparing in the olden days was a little bit more complicated than just throwing a piece of wax into a glass cup. But that also is considered preparing. What was necessary in order for a candle to burn nicely, especially when you're dealing with oil candles, is you pre-light them. If you pre-light them and then extinguish them, when it's got a little bit of carbon on the top, it lights easier the second time round. And therefore, that was the mitzvah of the husband to pre-light the candles. Whether pre-lighting today is necessary or not, Rav Novi Dasi does not touch on it. Some people say that it's still part of the mitzvah, and I've seen a lot of people do it, and others say that it might be to the detriment, because some of these candles that we have, if you light them and then you extinguish them, then you're left with no wick, and then it's very hard to light it the second time. So you have to be careful, and you have to know what you're dealing with, whether that's what you should do, and if that's going to be to the detriment, then obviously don't do it and find something else to do. As I said, preparing them. Preparing them could just also mean putting the oil in, putting the wick in, getting them out the cupboard, putting them on the shelf, whatever it is. The other chelik that we give the husband is that since there is a chiyuv of having light all over the house, then that should be his responsibility to make sure that other lights, other rooms are illuminated. So in olden days, that would actually mean lighting a candle in those rooms. Today just means that the lights are on in the bathroom, the lights are on the passageway, the lights are on in the various bedrooms that you're going to have lights. Whether you're going to turn on your Shabbos lamp or you're going to turn your regular light and put on the time switch, obviously you don't need to have your light on and disturb your sleep. That's not necessary. That's not only Shabbos anymore. But all those things to worry about, the woman gets the mitzvah at the table because it's the ikar mitzvah, and she gets the make to light at the end. After everything else is on, she lights at the end and makes the bracha on it, and her bracha is chal on all the other lights that have been turned on before Shabbos, but will become the husband wants to partake in the mitzvah, so he'll do the other illumination. As I said, it doesn't have to mean light, but to have to actual ignition, but the illumination of the other parts of the house. So I saw he referred to a Rabbi Akiva Eiger on the Mishnayos. Very interesting. I went to look it up. And he says something very sweet. We say, Ashlosha dvarim noshim mesos, asha enon zehiran, the nida chala uvahadlokas aner. There are three things that can bring death to women if they are not careful on three mitzvahs. Nida and chala and lighting candles. So, Baruch Hashem, noshim tzidkonios are careful on these things, they're mitzvahshem, they shehav arichas yomim. But he points out, he says, it's interesting, we say nida, blankets, we say chala, blankets. And we don't say neiros, we say hadlokas neiros. Why, when it came to candles, does it say hadlokas neiros? Why does it say neiros? Just like chala, it doesn't say hafroshas chala, the separation of chala, it just says chala, the mitzvah of chala, which means everything included in the mitzvah. So neiros should say neiros, everything included in the mitzvah of neiros. Why does it say hadlokas neiros? So he says from here you get the Mishnah is hinting to the fact that the mitzvah of a woman in the neiros is the actual hadlaka. The rest of the mitzvah is on the husband. It's not her duty to set them up, prepare them, and do everything beforehand. Her mitzvah is the ignition, and of course that with that comes the bracha. Rav Novi adds an interesting, nice aside, and he says he heard that this is the source of the minhag why a chosen buys a kala candlesticks, because it's his preparation for the candles which they're going to be using, so he buys the candlesticks and she's going to be lighting the candles. This mitzvah, this chiyuv of hadlakas neiros applies to, as you said, to a man and a woman in any situation. That means even a woman who is single or a man who is single, whether they're single as a result of not having got married or widow, divorce, whatever it is, living alone, that still is a chiyuv for them to have a light in the house, man and woman. A man who is living on his own, whether he is single or whether his wife is not home, for whatever reason, he is then chayev in the mitzvah of hadlachas neiros, and he will make the brach on it. So if his wife has in hospital, just gave birth or whatever it is, then the mitzvah falls on the husband to light the candles and make the brach on them. To have a daughter light the candles for him is fine, so long as she is of age. If she's under the age of bas mitzvah, then she should not be lighting the candles on behalf of the household. Rather, it should be the father's mitzvah. Some have the mitzvah that every girl that has reached the age of chinuch lights candles, and some of the mitzvah, not only that they each make a bracha on it. It is more prevalent amongst the Hasidic communities, in particular Chabad, and the literature communities tend to frown on it because they're worried about a bracha levatala, and how can you make a multiple brachos. If the mother's made the bracha, then that's chal on everything in the house, how they make multiple brachos. But l'maisa, this is their minhag, and there is what to rely on. What he points out is that if you're doing such a thing, if they have the minhag that the girls make their own bracha, then perhaps they should do it in a way where there's a separate chiyuv. Meaning, if the mother lights at the Shabbos table, then the kids should light in a different room or a different place of the house will be a chiyuv of lights. So if you have that maybe in the kitchen, that would also, you get to the whole discussion of electric light and all the rest, so that's turn on the lights beforehand, I will discuss later, but whatever, it means that they should try and find their own way to avoid getting to questions of a bracha levatala. If they're all lighting and not making a bracha, then there's not a problem. And the light makes all the mother's candles, because they're all lighting, she makes the bracha for all of them altogether. A woman who, Rachmana Litzlan, is blind, so she's also chayev in hadlachas neiros, but because of her handicap, so her hanah from light is limited, and therefore we prefer that she should not light the candles and make the brach on it, but rather her husband, if she has one, should be lighting the candles and making the brach on it. It's interesting, the question is, how does a blind person get hanah from light? And the way we explain it is, there was a blind person walking in the street holding a lantern, and the man said to him, and another man saw him and asked him, why are you walking around with a lantern if you can't see anyway? He says, it's not for me to see, it's for you to see me, so you don't walk it. So there's secondary benefit that a blind person gets from light. And this discussion in the post, if a blind person makes the bracha for Birkas HaMa'oros, that is Kriya Shema, that we thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu for giving light, essentially we're going to say that a blind person does benefit from light, even though it's not direct, it's indirect, and therefore most of these brachas, depends on what type of hama you're dealing with, but most of these brachas a blind person can make. As I said, they benefit. There's a halacha brought down, I think we mentioned it when we discussed medical issues. Woman who's giving birth in the dark, so since she's a chole she'esh basakana, you may turn on the light. We say even if she's blind, you can turn on the light for her, because she will feel that the professional that's dealing with her, the midwife, the doctor, is groping around in the dark. And she will feel more comfortable if the doctor who's treating her has light, and therefore her situation, even though she herself is blind, requires light, and therefore you can light a candle for such a woman as well. So therefore we're going to say the mitzvah is for a blind woman, she also has it, and if she doesn't have someone to light for her, or make the brach on her behalf, like she's lighting to at the same place as a neighbor, and the neighbor's making the bracha, so then she'll light, and if then they make the bracha, then she actually will make the bracha herself as well, but until then,